Hey, it's Brian Hayes. Big news in Canada. Manscaped is officially launched throughout the country. It is time to fire up the best men's below-the-waist grooming option possible. That is Manscaped. You're going to feel better about yourself, and most importantly, your significant other is going to absolutely love it. Check out the website manscaped.com and get 20% off and free shipping with the code Hayes, that's H-A-Y-E-S, at manscaped.com. That's 20% off free shipping at manscaped.com. Use the promo code Hayes and start trimming.
All right, the Jays were set to play tonight in Kansas City, but that game has been rained out, so they'll have a doubleheader tomorrow, a seven-inning doubleheader tomorrow. They're coming off a 7-5 loss last night, 7-0 at one point, and then the bats came alive, and there was an opportunity for a pretty incredible finish, 2-on-1-out. Bichette just misses on a hanging slider, and Vladdy went chasing, but it's tough to, you know, really have any negative vibes towards him, considering he was 3-for-4 prior to that at bat, and he's been absolutely lights out, and he hit a moonshot last night. He's got 3 home runs already on the year. His average is through the roof. He looks great. He's been really, really performing well. And to chat about the game last night and where we go from here with a rainout and injury issues, here is Keegan Matheson of MLB.com, Blue Jays reporter. How you doing, Keegan?
Doing very well. How's everybody today?
We're trying to hold it together here, man, like everyone else in the province, I think. And that's somewhat, I guess, what the Jays are doing here, because Romano now has been placed on the IL. Stripling's on the IL. Merriweather's on the IL. The arms were always a bit of a concern, and now the injury problems are popping up. How do they make this work?
Yeah, this is tough recently. Ideally, nobody gets hurt tonight with no game. We'll see how that goes. But the Blue Jays bullpen started with Kirby Yates, losing him to Tommy John for the year. But at that point, you could still say, okay, you go to Jordan Romano, who was one of the best relievers in baseball last year. You go to Julian Merriweather, who broke out that first series. But when guy after guy goes down, you worry because suddenly you're going to have middle relievers moving into closing or high-end duties. But you're also going to have AAA guys, depth guys, moving into innings that matter and moving into starts that matter. So the Blue Jays have depth. They certainly do, but I don't think anyone was prepared to manage this many injuries early on in the season, and it's been snowballing. You know, ideally a few of these guys come back in the other direction, but it's been moving in the wrong direction so far.
Yeah, it's not a good scene. And last night, you know, we were discussing Kevin Biggio and his situation, and I guess he's a part of the injured, not the IL yet. He hasn't been placed on it, but he left the game with a hand injury last night. 2 errors at third. His bat has been ice cold. He was 0-for-2 prior to leaving the game last night with another strikeout. And this was a storyline coming into the year, you know, where this is basically an experiment. He's a utility guy. He can move around. He clearly was willing to accept the job, but this is not what he is known for. And he does not look comfortable whatsoever, Keegan. Where is your level of concern in terms of where Biggio is at and how he's handling this new position?
Well, it has to be concerning, because if this was last year, guys, a lot of these errors were written off as, oh, they're developing, they're learning, they're building up. It's time to win. You know, you have George Springer on this team. You have Hyunjin Ryu on this team. It's time to win in 2021. So that patience can't be there as much for the Blue Jays. We saw that with the Tanner Roark move to the bullpen. You can't let it happen over and over, because even though it's early, even though there's 1,000 games in a baseball season, you still need these early wins. So with Biggio, my concern entering the season was the throwing arm. Going from second over to third, would that be enough? And so far, it's looked problematic a few different times. And that's what allows really great third basemen to stick there. When you look back at guys like Adrian Beltre, Josh Donaldson, who we saw here, even someone like Vladdy, who doesn't have the hands or always the fundamentals to play there, he can cover up mistakes with throwing a rocket across the field. Biggio can't do that right now. So there has to be some concern there. He'll continue to get opportunities, but like I said, you can't be as patient when you're supposed to win now.
Well, and if it gets to a point where he never settles in, to your point, if you're in win-now mode, you're going to have to make an adjustment. So what would the likelihood of him moving around the diamond be? I mean, where does Biggio go if he's not comfortable at third?
You know, he can go a lot of places, whether it be second, the corner outfield, even first base, even though he's not really needed there right now. Some places where his arm would fit a little better. And as long as he's bringing versatility, as long as he is a guy saving your roster flexibility a bit, your appetite for those errors, it's not great, but you can stomach it a bit more because he's versatile and flexible. But as an everyday guy, that's where it gets a little more difficult to see from Biggio. So his super utility potential, I think, is really there. If the Blue Jays had an everyday third baseman on this roster right now, today, having Biggio as that bench guy moving around, still playing 100 to 120 games, I think makes a lot of sense. He's getting the chance to prove that he can be that guy, but so far, like you said, at the plate, in the field, it's been pretty tough.
Keegan, I know I'm going to ask you to look into a crystal ball here because it's still really early in the season, but everything right now I just feel always has a bit of a pandemic storyline to it, and we know the Jays, obviously the only MLB team that's had to relocate, but we've seen this story play out already with the Raptors in relocating and injuries piling up and, you know, knock on wood, hopefully you don't want to see it here, but like a COVID outbreak. I mean, have you heard any rumblings at all when it comes to the Blue Jays right now and even their situation? Because I know they were trying to come back home in May to start playing games again, but I do not think that's
not going to happen. No chance.
Yeah, good luck with that. It's such an interesting case, Andy, because there's really no blueprint for this. Just like the Raptors are dealing with, you can't say, okay, let's dig out our 2007 pandemic plan. You're making this up as you go along. And right. For the Blue Jays trying to come back here, I mean, as anyone with internet access or a radio knows, it's not going great right now. So that border opening up is always going to be the main issue. The border will be the issue for the Blue Jays. And getting back across, even when they are vaccinated or over that 85%, that MLB will loosen some restrictions, man, that looks tough. So I think the very likely step is Buffalo for a while midsummer. You don't want to be playing a baseball game. I don't want to be covering a game in that heat midsummer, but playing would be much worse in Florida. Get away from that rain. Get to Buffalo for the middle of the summer. Maybe you target something like a late August to September, getting back here to Toronto. But, again, the virus calls the shots. The border calls the shots. And those are both well out of the Blue Jays' hands, unfortunately. So it's looking like it'll be a while.
With Keegan Mathieson of MLB.com. Again, the Jays rained out tonight. They'll have a doubleheader tomorrow. Vladdy, it doesn't appear, is bothered by any of this because he is off to a better start than anyone could ever expect. He's hitting .413. He's got an on-base of .526. The exit velocity is through the roof on everything he hits. He had a double and a bomb last night. Like, this is what we were waiting for, right, Keegan? This was worthy of the hype from a few years ago where he was unanimously considered the best prospect in baseball. This is it. It's paying off. No one expects him to hit .400, of course, or have an on-base up above .500. But I think his plate appearances, his ability to make contact in the fashion that he does, he looks pretty comfortable at first. I mean, he's starting to figure it out. It's starting to click, and that's nothing but a positive for the Blue Jays.
Yeah, this is it for Vladdy. This is what he looked like at 18 and 19. And the hype around him in spring training, of course, we all heard it, but every spring training, somebody turns into Babe Ruth. We think it's going to be the next big thing. And most times it's not. 9 years out of 10, it is not. It goes right back to the norm. But with Vladdy, the talent and the skill set is there. And when someone breaks out like this, the question I always ask is if they're doing something differently. Because if they are, then you start to tiptoe away from this being luck. And this is what Vlad looked like down in high A, double A, where he seemed to be seeing the ball slower than everyone else. He seemed to be dominating every pitcher he went against, and not just hitting for power, but hitting to the opposite field, taking his walks. That's what makes him special. He can hit the ball as hard and as far as anybody, of course, but what makes him an elite hitter potentially is that approach, being able to get those singles and doubles in between so he's not going to have 200 strikeouts. It's just been incredible to watch him, and honestly, the joy and the passion he's playing with right now, that's not something we have a fancy metric for, but he looks like himself. That was not the case last year. There were some times where he did not have that energy whatsoever. So that's a good barometer for him. When you see that smile, when you see a happy Vladdy, that's when the numbers are up there.
Yep, there's no doubt about that. He is rolling at this point. And we'll see what it means for tomorrow, the rest of the week. And they're on the road here for a while, and they do have some off days coming up. But injuries piling up now, a doubleheader tomorrow. It's not going to be easy for Montoyo and the Jays, but you'll be all over it as always. Thank you for this, Keegan. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Anytime. You take care.
You got it, Keegan Mathieson of MLB.com. And, again, the Jays will have a doubleheader tomorrow. And at this point, you know, you look at the starting staff, you know, you like what you bring out, what you see out of Ryu. Steven Matt's been very good through, you know, two turns through the rotation for him. Robbie Ray was fine, and if he's healthy, But beyond that, you have no idea what you're getting, and the bullpen is strained. And if Biggio is going to be injured, that's going to affect what you're doing 1-9. You know, they're a game under 500. No one else is really running away in the American League East, but they're dealing with it. You know,
what do they see in this Tanner Roark character?
Like, well, they can't see anything. What they see is $12 million. That's what they see. He's getting paid $12 million this year. They're thin anyway, so they're going to try to get whatever they can out of him, but he's not going to be an option by the end of the year. There's no way.